Greetings, denizens of Twilight. This is Kinnak, also known as Landon Winkler. As you probably know, if you're listening to this, I'll be taking over, taken over as development lead of Twilight Heroes from Rhyme. I guess call me old-fashioned, but I like to be able to sort of hear somebody's voice, take their measure when they're doing something important to my life, and, call me a giant dork, but I really consider the people who run the games that I play to be playing an important part of my life. So, wanted to let anybody who might want to sort of, listen to who I am and what I have to say and sort of take my measure, and we can decide if we want to do podcasts going forward. I'm certainly more than happy enough to ramble on for an hour or not, as people are interested in listening. So I guess I'll introduce myself real quick, and then I will dive into some questions. It shouldn't really take very long. We've only got about half a dozen. Although, with my luck, one of them will send me off on a tangent for half an hour, and I will end up here past midnight. But the, broad overview of Landon is that, basics, 30, live in Columbus, Ohio, have an amazing, ridiculously amazing wife, two adorable kittens, which are currently in a corner, attempting to eat each other's food, because that's what they do. It's a pretty good life, all around. My hobby, and in a large sense, my hobby, singular, pretty much forever, has been game design. I've been at this for quite a while. I mean that in a very broad sense, not just, computer games, but I'll be digging through old books and find, entire CCG designs, hundreds and hundreds of card sets, and this is one of dozens of these sorts of games spread through my notebooks, and RPGs and computer, single player computer games and multiplayer games like this. For the most part, though, I come from a tabletop role playing sort of background, which gives things sort of an interesting cast, I think. I see development as more of a GMing process to a large extent, sort of storytelling, than it is just a, exercise in coding and getting out the bonuses and stuff. Although, an actual, tabletop RPG, that's also important. But I think that there's a lot that can be done, particularly with the medium as you see it in Twilight Heroes and, in Kingdom of Loathing and Metroplexity. You have all of this, text, for one, and that sounds weird, but being able to describe stuff out front rather than being really kind of shackled to what you can get done graphically and, can make look good graphically and have, the money and the resources to do graphically. There are so many things that you can, that's a really good idea to describe and, write a couple of minutes. That would take weeks to get, looking decent, if not longer. When you're talking about, a 3D sort of game, something like WoW. And I think that that's actually incredibly powerful. I think that it's not necessarily flashy, but there's something really cool underlying that. And that's what originally drew me to these types of games, why I started working on Metroplexity. Two of my big inspirations going into that mechanically were Kingdom of Loathing, of course, and Twilight Heroes. So when Rhyme started looking for somebody to sort of fill his shoes, as it were, I was clearly interested, or I wouldn't be giving you this introduction now. But that's sort of me in a nutshell. I have, I guess, oh, I have a day job, which exists. I guess I don't really think about it very often outside of, you know, that 8 hours a day. But yeah, technically I'm all qualified to do all the, all the computer side of things too. Which is, I actually enjoy a lot and find very interesting, but, I guess I just, have good work-life balance, as they say. Yeah, sort of work for the man for 8 hours a day, so I don't have to, don't have to worry about it too much, put too much energy into it, can kind of laugh at, you know, the Dilbert-esque, actually very Office Space-esque, in my case, chunks of it, and, head on and work on stuff that I love. So, it's pretty cool. It's a good life, actually. But, I guess, that's neither here nor there. So, yeah, let's move on with some questions, and we will see if we can't get some answers for you. First off, we've got a couple from the Kevin. Hi, Kinect, welcome to the family. Really great to have you. Thanks. It's good to be here. People have been extremely welcoming. I know that it's, I don't want to say scary exactly, but I know that it's a big change. Twilight Heroes, obviously, you know, is Rhyme's creation from the ground up, right? Having that transition over to someone else is a little nerve-wracking. And I don't blame people for, I guess I wouldn't blame people for being a little testy about that. People haven't been anything but extremely positive. I mean, you know, even folks who were, as I was saying, really legitimately, you know, sort of concerned how stuff would go were like, you know, I'm expecting that you'll do fine, but I'm, you know, still have my reservations, and that's cool. I almost appreciate that more because it seems like people feel like they can be honest with me, which I think is going to be really important going forward. And this isn't a sort of game that we can just, you know, I can just blast out content and you can, you know, absorb it. It's not a, you know, I don't see this as like, you know, a TV show or something, right, where you're just receivers. I think that everybody sort of has an active part to play, and if we can't talk to each other, that doesn't really work out very well. Hopefully that makes sense. Couple questions here. I would like more gloves. I don't feel that there are enough interesting gloves in the game. I would tend to agree that we need some more gloves and some more boots, some more accessories, and shirts, and pants, and full bodies, and helmets, and weapons. I think there's actually a lot of space that we can expand on pretty much every slot, although obviously some of them have less than others. One of the things I actually want to do before I dive into development too much is actually go through and in the wiki and on the databases and just get a feel of how each slot develops through a retcon, or, you know, through your original run through the game, which is more or less, you know, similar. Just because I think there's a lot of potential for really interesting design, which I got has nothing to do with questions. Obviously, I'm gonna add more gloves, but. Sort of on a tangent from that, there's a lot of really interesting design where by handling a specific slot in a specific way, you can give it its own flavor, above and beyond just like, you know, gloves, giving them plus items for sticky gloves and whatnot. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That has flavor. But I mean more of a shade tint, like something that means the same thing as flavor, but doesn't have the connotations as like of like story, right? But so if you have, very vanilla, like normal, not really very interesting gloves along the main quest line, but have more interesting gloves with cooler bonuses off to the sides, or specific side quests that give cool gloves, or like quest reward that's cool gloves, or specific enemies in zones you don't normally go to. That creates a much more interesting set of it creates this texture. Oh, there we go, texture. That's sort of what I was looking for, actually. Throughout the entire game, linking back to that, assuming, once you're talking about at a relatively deep level where you're like, I need to get some gloves, or like, these gloves are like, six levels out of date. I really should get some new ones. And I think there's actually a lot of, it's almost like negative space in game design, if you will, where because some of the slots have so little stuff, there's some interesting interactions that go on there, and I think that it's important to preserve those to some level, and I want to be careful not to swamp what's already there, because if you need to sort of go out of your way to get a pair of gloves, and I put in like a really great easy, I was gonna say easy pair of gloves in the science tiers, but obviously there's dishwasher gloves. But like if you put in something in Somerset Park that has like a really sweet pair of gloves that would last you up through like level 3 or 4 or something, that would sort of send us off in a different direction than where we're at now. But anyway, I think that more gloves incoming, but I don't know. I want to actually look through each slot, and at the risk of sounding like a, sort of obsessive compulsive dork, I really want to see, like, where those are coming from, because I think that how you interact with the slot where, like, if there's one that drops in the Cannonball Tavern, one that drops in, the sewers, and one that drops in, Zion's Tears area, and on and on and on, works very differently than one that, the best ones are all crafted, or the best ones are all dropped in, like, side areas or received from side quests. And I think too, if there are slots that are already in that sort of situation, I don't want to make them all samey, for lack of a better word, to remove that texture, I guess. How impossible would it be to create a World of Warcraft-esque system for linking to item descriptions in chat? And wow, you can control-click, I think, on any item, and a link to it pops up in chat. Might be a nightmare to do, but it would be very useful and a cool thing to do in this game. I'm sorry, cool thing to see in a game like this. I don't honestly know how hard it would be. I'm guessing very, because there's some weirdness there with the JavaScript catching the click and then trying to route it over to the chat, making the Ajax like that. I'm sure it's doable, but seems like the sort of thing that would end up with me being like, oh no, I can totally do this, and end up taking like 10 times longer than I was originally estimating. And of course, I'm already estimating that it would take 10 times longer than I thought it would be, so it'd actually be 100 times. And oh, but yeah, never mind. In a broader sense, I think I'm not sure. It depends on what you want it for exactly. I don't think that having item links necessarily helps when you're like explaining things to new players very much. I think that's usually ends up being weird and intimidating. And I found that it often gets spammy with new content. But those aside, I'm assuming that you're thinking about, you know, trade interactions. What I would like to see more than making it easier to trade in chat is making it easier to trade through interfaces like the mall. Not like I will give you item X for item Y type trades, but like actually like more buying and selling through the mall than through chat. And I would, or, you know, auctions or what have you, but I sort of, my understanding is that everything sort of moved to the mall now that it exists. So I guess it's possible that you're thinking about that for some other reason that I just don't get, but my gut feeling, not having remotely even looked at the type of code that would be needed to do that, is that we'd be better off improving the mall interface to make commerce flow a little more smoothly than to make it easier to trade and chat and sort of focus on the item rather than like the conversation to the extent that makes sense. I'm not sure if that follows, so if I'm talking gibberish there, just pay attention to the mall part. Another kind of big one, I'd really like a better interface for polls during runs, perhaps a separate inventory page for all the items just have poll links. As of right now, it's very hard to remember which things do what without specifically selecting them and hitting the button. Some organization into categories in the item images would be very helpful to people who play casually and aren't reading off a list of optimal polls. I will say, well, I guess, if the community doing runs with polls decides that that's what they want, I would cheerfully do it. As a general sort of comment, inventory pages are brutal for the server. I mean, not that, you know, in a game like Twilight Heroes, anything is really putting a ton of weight on the server, like, compared to, you know, if we were doing something like, you know, some sort of, like, crazy flash or what have you, but the inventory pages, I mean, there's a lot of database interaction going on there, and a lot of, just a ton of images, and a lot of text that's getting generated. And a lot of times you can see that even just, like, waiting for the page to load. From a purely technical standpoint, if there's a different solution that works just as well as an inventory type page, I would rather do that. On that note, I think that the as big a problem as just, like, not necessarily knowing what each item does, being able to identify it easily, is that you've just got this huge list of items in deep storage. Which means, if you sort of back up for a second and think about your inventory, once you've dumped everything out of deep storage into it, you just have so much stuff. And, like, I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm not paying enough attention, but, I mean, it'll be like, wait, you know, like, which helmet should I be wearing? And, like, you know, like, you look at the powers, and you're like, it's probably one of these. With the inventory information there, like, you can figure it out. It's not a big deal. But I don't think that that... I think that the amount of information there is as much the problem. Like, you're sort of trying to find a needle in a haystack. Now, what that says to me is more that you want a solution that pares that information down rather than that expands it out like an inventory page. So, like, you know, a list of favorites, right? Like, it shows you can, you know, select to have, like, however many items show up as on your list individually, or, you know, having pre-saved quote outfits, right? For, like, you know, just, like, arbitrarily. And then it just, you know, goes through the list and pulls as many of them as you can, that sort of thing. Some sort of, you know, some not, like, super advanced, obviously, but, like, you know, at least some sort of filtering system. And potentially coupled with a output that was more like an inventory page, you know. Like getting, you know, a section of it back. Or maybe, like, a section in a certain level range. Something like that. But what I'm... I don't think that going through your inventory after deep storage is necessarily less intimidating than the giant list, depending on how much stuff you have in deep storage. But I guess... My thought process there is, if you have enough stuff that the list is a problem, inventory-ness is kind of an issue, too. So, all that I can really say for sure there is I would rather do something without the images if we can, or loading a smaller number of images, particularly for our players using... you know, like phones and so forth. But my bigger thought there, just as a whole, is I would want to just generally have a dialogue with the community that does, you know, runs with polls to see what exactly they need out of that interface that they're not getting. And, you know, obviously, like, you're not getting the information that you need, but there's a lot of different directions we could go with that. And I think we could very easily end up too far in the opposite direction if we start dumping a lot of information out with it. So, we'll see on that, but consider that an open invitation to start a dialogue on it, and we'll go from there. Wow, ask and ye shall receive. Some questions from Mara. First one being, well, not so much a question as a comment to what we were just talking about. If you do this, please retain the old interface as well. I stopped doing softcore in Kingdom of Loathing, partially because of how much I hated this system and how nervous it made me every time I used it. I'm not, I guess, seeing the nervousness, but I haven't used the Kingdom of Loathing interface for that, so... It's entirely possible that I'm mispicturing it. I really only did hardcore in Kingdom of Loathing, and I think probably long before they changed the interface. So that's I'm probably just not seeing how that worked there. But yeah, and as I was saying, we just need to talk a bit about what needs, if any, aren't being met there, so that we can, I guess, I'm not, like I said, when I was in Kingdom of Loathing, I was hardcore and in Twilight Heroes, and not really a big polls guy, so my, I guess, I'm really comfortable designing things game-wise for stuff that I don't I'm not going to say even don't like, but I'm not not interested in playing. So like PvP, I don't PvP. But I really like designing PvP systems, and apparently I'm pretty good at it. At least folks in Metroplex do think so. Similarly with polls, like I don't. It doesn't work with me story wise. It's sort of just and the flavor mostly gets in my way, which is, you know, silly, but that's how I am. But like, I think that the strategy of it was really interesting in adding and how the design feeds into runs with polls and how that affects the strategy, I think is really fascinating. But okay, so that aside, designing for poll systems is interesting, but I'm not as comfortable talking about the interface of it. That's the sort of thing that, you know, you just sort of have to experientially sort of use, right? So that I would rather let the people who use that a lot talk about it a little more. Or, you know, and of course people that use it a little, right? But it's not really in my area of experience too much at this point. And a couple questions from Lara. Where do you intend to invest most of your effort with the game? By this, I mean, do you want to expand or change quests, add quests, or new content matrices? Just curious what interests you as a game developer. I could talk about this for entirely too long, probably, but I will try to keep it focused here. I think I mentioned that Rhyme and I have talked and sort of really mostly just yanked his roadmap. Although I guess it's entirely possible I'll be going about things a different order than he's planning on. We didn't really talk about order too much, but most of the stuff that I'll be doing going forward is adding new content more than revising old content. Although, I mean, there's some of that as well. I just like the Go Fish quest. Ryan was intending to, at some point, revise that. So I want to go back through and see if we still feel like we need to do that. And I'm thinking we probably do. It's just sort of, I don't want to say boring, because it's not really. It's just sort of, and it's actually slightly less linear than some of the other quests. I mean, in that it has, like, a fork in it, right? But it just is a very, we'll just say linear. I think everybody knows what I mean. There's just not a lot going on. That's probably it. It just needs some more texture, I guess. But that, and I would like to tweak the Bindmender quest a little bit. Just insofar as how the mechanics of the area work. And we'll see if I can get to a good solution with that technically. And I think I can. But we'll see. We'll find out. I mean, there's a couple of just like little, you know, petty things, mostly. On that side. Well, I guess if we decide to completely redo Go Fish or something, but nothing really pressing. The main focus is quests and new content, menus, vectors, I guess is the usual term I'd use for that. And so there are a bunch of B quests. that we'll go through and sort of, you know, there are some notes, but we'll have to, you know, flesh them out and implement them. And there also is, I mean, the Brute Quest is not the end of that storyline, so there's some more going on there. So that'll be a lot of my early development. I don't expect, you know, to tear through and do, you know, 5 side quests and, you know, a bunch of post mic quests without, you know, that taking a lot of time. In the meantime, there are some entirely new stuff that I'd like to work on. Nothing that wasn't really being planned already that I'm aware of, but I'm working on a lot of tools so that Christiana and I can work a little more in parallel, which potentially is really cool. In that, I can be working on like leagues, for example, and Christiana can be working on like one of the Mii quests. And leagues will probably take forever, but if, you know, I can pop out of that and do like the coding part that I need with like a lot of the stuff that Christiana just doesn't have access to do, well, the tools to do, really, at present, taken care of, that, like, you know, this item gives this other item, or chips, or, you know, healing, or whatever, that's all very, not automatable, exactly, but, you know, spindleable, if you're a C.D. Moyer fan. So I can, you know, sort of pop over there and do whatever actual, like, hard coding needs to be done, and then, you know, get back to leagues. And in a perfect world, which, you know, not quite how it works usually, but in a perfect world, what I'd like to be able to do is have, you know, one of us at a time be working on on a big content release, and the other of us working on smaller stuff, with Rhyme thrown in the mix, doing really whatever the heck he wants, but probably more small stuff, I don't really know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Having Rhyme there just makes it more awesome, really. But so if you have one person working on a long chunk of content, like one of the post reset quests, right? And then you have one of us working on like a lot of little blocks of content, like most of the, well, I guess I hesitate to even say most of the B quests, but like, you know, little B quests, or you know, just like some new items or some new crafting or whatever. That, you know, you can have a content release like every, you know, week, couple weeks, just like little stuff. And then, although it'll definitely take, you know, longer to get out the bigger content than if you were working together, the intermediate stage will be less boring. So if you have content release every other week and big content releases 3 months apart, I think that's way less boring than just having big content release wait 2 months without a big content release, if that makes sense. Not that I'm promising to any of those dates, but that's sort of that's one of the things that inexplicably excites me as a designer. I think that not even so much as a as a game designer, but as a sort of, I mean, community designer almost. I'm not really sure what you'd even call that. I think that there's some incredibly still cool stuff we can do there. Once I get a bunch of those tools set up, which could be pretty soon, I'll actually be starting on leagues, which is why I was using that as an example. And I'm not sure if I said that out loud, but I expect that to take basically forever. Old doddering gray Kinnack will come out at some point and hand, you know, a golden disc to the players with leagues on it. Probably not, but, you know. I like to set expectations. So you can be pleasantly surprised when I still have, you know, brown in my hair when it comes out. You've made it clear that you'd rather make a good game, a game you're satisfied with, over bringing up player attention. As a player, I'm worried about player attention. I like to speed retcon, but the fun in that is starting to wane with almost zero competition. Is there anything you plan to do with Plaque New Tears? How about player attention? I think clans communities tend to keep people attracted as much as, if not more, the actual game content for non-graphics-based games like this. Thoughts? I should probably explain what I mean when I'm talking about retention. I'm guessing what you're referring to is that there's a sort of a turn of thought that people end up using a lot when they're talking about player retention, and they're like, and they'll say something, they'll give a very legitimate reason for why we need a solid community, like what you're talking about with speed retconning. So be like, you know, I want there to be more players, so that, you know, I can have competition to retcon against. And, you know, it'll make more money for you, so you should want to do it too. And that's obviously not usually exactly how it's phrased. It's usually more eloquent than that, but, there's sort of this thought process. At least it ends up reading to me a lot of the time as, you know, I want this for this totally good idea, but you want this because it'll make you money. And it's like, I don't know, it's just sort of, I mean, I make plenty of money at my day job. And I mean, it would be amazing, right, if I could, you know, do this as my day job instead. And that would be cool. I'm not going to lie about that, obviously. But if I was going to lie about it, it would be sort of pointless to do it right after I told the truth, right? But it's just kind of like, it's like, no, I agree with the first reason, and the second reason is, like, kind of, I mean, like, obviously we need to keep the servers running and stuff, right? But I want the game to be good for speed retconners. And I want to retain players. It's not even really that. I want to have a good community so that it's good for the retconners and it's good for the PvPers, although I think that there's some content that probably needs to go there, too, probably. If not content, then development time, at least to get the PvP system sort of different. I don't think that it's very compelling right now. PvPers, if you disagree with me, if you think that the PvP system right now is awesome and I'm an idiot, feel free to tell me. As I said, I don't PvP much myself, but it just doesn't really grab me right now. So, but anyway, regardless of how awesome the PvP system is, if there isn't a community there, it doesn't do you any good, right? So that is, those are reasons. Like, that's why I want to get new players and retain existing players and, you know, bring old players that have lapsed for a bit, you know, back into the fold and all of these things. But also why I want to have, just not just a larger community, but also a a good community, right? It's not just about, you know, having people that you can PvP with, right? It's having people that you that are fun to PvP with, that either, you know, aren't jerks when they lose or are hilarious jerks when they lose, right? You know, some people who it's fun to retcon against who aren't going to be, you know, giant, you know, drama queens when they come in, you know, second by, like, you know, 2 minutes, right? Like, I mean, like, or are giant drama queens and it's, you know, in all in good fun, right? So I think that I think about that sort of thing a lot, just not in terms of I need to, you know, get, you know, I need to double the player base so that I can, you know, afford my, you know, oh, I don't know, you know, in-house masseuse this week or whatever. I was thinking something with Tahiti, but I don't really know what you do in Tahiti, or I guess your Tahitian vacation, so I can afford. I would probably, if I were going to blow a ridiculous amount of money, I would probably go back to Australia, honestly. And I haven't even been gone for a year yet. So that's what I was talking about with retention. So I don't mean to say that retention isn't important. I mean to say that it makes me feel sort of weird to say it this way, but it kind of hurts my feelings when people think that I should want to deal with player retention for the wrong reasons. It's like, I want player retention because it's good for the game, and you want player retention to make a buck. It's like, no, I'm not that guy. anyway, so that all aside, how to actually get and retain players, I think is an interesting question. The first half of that is obviously, the first half of that is retaining players. And there are two ways that you can do that, I think, the two big ways. One of them is the same community stuff that we were talking about before. And part of it is players retain players, and part of it is, Harry Dresden and the rest of the mods being amazing and keeping chat, you know, not necessarily, like, under their, you know, iron fist, but keeping chat, you know, clean and positive and fun and, you know, being there to make sure that things don't get totally weird, or, you know, get totally weird in an awesome way. And also just, like, and stuff that you're, like, the clans and I call them leagues here. It's entirely possible there's a better name, but I think league is sort of the best superhero term that I've heard for it so far. So, leagues at the moment. And also community projects, right? Like, well, I guess actually in a superhero game, like an actual community project would not be the weirdest thing in the world, right? I'm thinking about a Transformers animated episode where they're repairing the overpasses in Detroit after the huge battle where they knocked down a bunch of them. Transformers animated basically being a superhero show with giant transforming robots for like the first season and a half. For those who haven't seen it, it's, I hesitate to say my favorite Transformers show, but one of my favorite cartoons ever. Anyway, the big Transformers fans will probably beat me, but I thought it was amazing. sorry, the Transformers animated just blew my brain with its sheer awesomeness. Okay, so community projects. And I think that flows into, when we're talking about player retention and clans and guilds and so forth, I think it's actually a relatively small part of that, that is just having the, I'll just say league here, right, is just having the league, like having the, you know, the label, the chat channel, and all of those things are important, what really brings people together is, shared sacrifice sounds a lot more lofty than what we're talking about, right? But if you look back, actually, unless they shut the game down, everybody probably knows someone who has an EverQuest account or had one for many, many years after they stopped actually playing, right? And a lot of those were because of their guilds, right? Their guild connections. But if you think about those people, a lot of them, it's not just the guild exactly. It's the time and effort that they all put into making the guild something awesome, right? It's, the nights they spent camping the big ice dragon queen, whose name I can't remember. Nax? I probably have that wrong. Doesn't matter. And killing her, right, and getting her sweet drops. Or, you know, the time that they got totally sniped by the team from the, you know, from Europe that was up, you know, before them, because it was during prime time in Europe, and like 3 in the morning, where most of their players were, what have you. And it's all those sorts of shared group experiences, right? And so you might be wondering, you know, Kenak, what the hell are you talking about? But I don't think that you can just, well, I guess there's sort of two prongs there. One of them is, I don't think you can just throw in, like, a guild system and expect it to have any meaningful impact on people wanting to stick around and play the game, making the game better, making the game into a game that people want to stick around and play, however you want to phrase that. It's a nice feature or whatever, but it's not really that big a deal, right? When you start talking about something like, even something as simple as Kingdom of Loathing's, like, you know, furniture setup, right? Where, you know, you're paying, you're pooling the meat to get whatever furnitures you want for your clan. That's something, right? That's something that, hopefully, you're doing together, or someone else is doing for you, and there's sort of an investment there. Long story short, I think that the reason that leagues are going to take a lot longer than they would if I were willing to accept just putting in, like, custom chat channels, basically, because really I could just put in custom chat channels and that would save a lot of time and effort, but you're looking at, first of all, I don't think that actually solves the issue, but also on sort of a second, I think that you want to sort of bring in, right, the superhero flavor, right? The clans in Kingdom of Loathing are sort of zany, right? Like Kingdom of Loathing, zany, and sort of, you know, scattered, right? In that way they have. and the corporations in Eve work in very Eve sorts of ways. It's a fascinating game. Not one I ever have had any interest in actually playing, just really interesting. Like, I wish that there was a, you know, nightly news broadcast or something that had, like, you know, a minute of Eve news every night. So you want something that's a lot bigger than that, and involves a lot more cool stuff, and a lot more stuff that you can do together, right? I'm not saying, like, you know, don't expect this for years and years and years. Well, I am saying that, but really just so that people will be pleasantly surprised when it's only, you know, months. The other half there, what I would actually call the second half, is getting new players. But I think a big part of that is actually retention. Which I guess sounds kind of dumb, but, you know, the more existing players you have, the longer that you keep them, the more good things they have to say about the game, the more new players you're going to get. I mean, there's nothing like word of mouth, and there's nothing like word of mouth to get good players, like people that you want in your community. I mean, if you have, you know, a player that fits in with the community, enjoys the community, enjoys the game, and they have someone that they want to also be in the community, I mean, it's not perfect, right? I mean, nothing is, but that's a damn sight better than just grabbing a person out of the crowd, right? And to say nothing of the fact that, you know, you're more likely to get that person if their friend is like, dude, you should totally play this game, it's awesome. It has been saying it for the last year, right? They're like, fine, I will try this game, and I'm totally hooked. I'm playing every night. Because who hasn't been there? So that's part of it. Part of the new player acquisition process, if you will. The other part is, I mean, advertising. And, I mean, I'm a giant hippie, don't get me wrong, but I don't find advertising, when, you know, used responsibly, to be particularly, problematic. I would, you know, assuming that, you know, the servers are being fed, I would like to see a lot of the donations, go back into stuff like that, to be perfectly honest. Not, you know, expose everyone to, you know, the sausage making that is keeping a game server running on donations. You know, some months are good, some months are not so good. But when there is a little bit extra, it would be nice to bring in some more folks, right? You know, for the purely, you know, having more people means more donations, which means we're more likely to have, you know, less problems paying for things in the future, whatever. But also just because it grows the community, right? Let's get you more enemies for speedruns. I shouldn't say enemies, really. Competitors, right? Hopefully I'm explaining myself there. I probably talked for entirely too long, but that's where I'm going with that. I skipped half of one of the halves. For attention, community, and content, I disagree as far as the community greater than content concept that you were putting out. I think that community is extremely powerful, but if you watch the number of people playing a game like Metroplexity or Twilight Heroes, and I don't have the exact numbers for Twilight Heroes, but I'm sure that it works the same way, you'll see when you release a new piece of content, the player count will spike, right? obviously, as a bunch of people log in to see the new content, and then it'll sort of, and it'll drop off pretty sharply, and then taper a little bit, which is the part that I think is actually interesting. So, you know, spikes up and then tapers off, and then you release another piece of content. The trick is that, you know, when you start releasing, it's easier to see when it's going bad, when you don't release content for a long stretch, and that taper just sort of keeps tapering. And I've totally been there. That's totally, not a dig on anyone but myself. But as you get those content spikes closer together, they start to, it's not a incredibly, powerful growth effect, right? Like, it is really just retention, or, you know, recapturing people who've wandered off. But it's extremely noticeable. And you'll, like I said, it's easier to see when you're looking at a game that hasn't had new content in a couple of months, and everybody sort of wandered off. Than it is like, oh, you know, we've had 3 releases in the last week, there's slightly more people after the 3rd release than after the 2nd. But it's definitely a big deal in either case. So, I guess I wouldn't say existing content. So, like, existing community is probably better than existing content. But you don't really get, like, new community, but you do get new content. New content is pretty sweet. So, I'm not sure if that's actually helpful at all, but I think that content is an important part of that equation. That's part of why I want to do what I was talking about with, like, big block of content, little big block of content, because... Well, I mean, nobody likes being bored between two big blocks of content, right? And why would anyone play a game that they were bored, you know, waiting for me to, you know, finish up leagues or whatever, right? So hopefully that'll work out. But I think that all sort of links together. Can we get a spading chat channel, please? Some of the best spaders in the game don't have access to Retcon, which is where the new content tends to be discussed. I will leave that one up to the mod team a little bit. It's sort of... it's not difficult to add a chat channel. I think. I mean, I haven't done it before, but it shouldn't be weird. But, I mean, that does sort of... It adds a lot more to their workload than it does to mine. So I will let them yell at me if that would be a giant pain. But if there is demand for the all spoilers all the time channel outside of Retcon, and it's wouldn't be a huge burden to them, I don't see any problem with adding that, no. Last but not least, are you still going to celebrate Rhyme's birthday? I had not given that a lot of thought, actually. I don't really have any particular ties to my birthday, so I don't see any reason why not. Maybe I can Shanghai him and make him give you presents every year. I will think about that. I'm tentative, yes. If nothing else, because it would be nice to give him a nod, but we shall see. Okay, well, it is past my bedtime, so I should be going, but thank you very much for listening, and thanks, of course, for playing Twilight Heroes and being so great over the changeover here, and I hope you enjoyed listening to me ramble, and have a great night.